RadioArchives.com presents The Faceless Satan, An Adventure of the Black Bat by G. Wayman Jones, read by Milton Bagby. Out of the night comes a menacing winged figure, the Black Bat. Blind District Attorney Tony Quinn takes his battle for justice from the courtrooms to the streets, prowling the city skyline as the Black Bat. His prey, criminals who live beyond the reach of the law. Masked, cloaked like a gigantic bat, and able to see in pitch darkness, the Black Bat is assisted by hulking Butch O'Leary and former con man Silk Kirby, as well as the resourceful Carol Baldwin, the daughter of the lawman who donated his eyes so that Tony Quinn could resume his war against the underworld. A war to the death, fought with scientific skill and blazing 45 automatics. Operating outside the law, the Black Bat is relentlessly hounded by police captain McGrath, who suspects that the blind DA is really the human bat who breaks laws in order to uphold justice. And now, the Black Bat's thrilling adventure, The Faceless Satan. Chapter 1. Voice from Nowhere. Arnold Carter was a dignified and retiring professor at State University, until the night in his small cottage near the campus when he saw the devil. There was a storm that night. Flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder caused Mrs. Carter to tense nervously in her chair. Watching her, the professor smiled. After years of work in science laboratories, thunderstorms held no terrors for him. He sat there calmly, clad in smoking jacket and slippers, with a fragrant pipe clamped between his teeth. He was as free from worry as any reasonable man could be who had just perused the stack of daily papers that now lay on the floor beside his chair. But that, of course, was before he saw the devil. Afterward, in an effort to get his wife's mind away from the storm, he laid aside his pipe and turned to her. He spoke thoughtfully, waving his hand at the newspapers. "Martha, this war is getting more and more out of hand. Men killing fellow men. Scientists working 24 hours a day to devise new methods of mass murder. It's a wonder the world wouldn't wake up and realize the futility of it all." Mrs. Carter stopped sewing and looked up.
"But, Arnold, do you think it's futile to fight such men as Hitler?"
No, of course not," the professor declared earnestly. "I'm glad we finally joined the fight. The futility rises in the fact that people will tolerate a despot like Hitler, allow him to rise to his present level. Or maybe I should say sink, not rise. It's been on my mind for weeks. You see, Sid Hanley is neck deep in war science."
"Sid? Your junior colleague at the college?"
Mrs. Carter was interested now.
"What about him, Arnold?"
Carter tapped his pipe and applied flame. Then he spoke slowly, as if he were giving a lecture before a class of advanced students.
"Sid Hanley is an extremely capable young man. In fact, I know of only one other student from whom I expected equally great things. Remember Tony Quinn? No, I hardly suppose you do. Well, Quinn had an aptness for science, too. But he turned to the law. Did rather well at it. Became district attorney, in fact, until he was blinded. Ironically enough, the blindness was caused by a chemical hurled at him, a violent acid. I can hardly imagine him as blind. Returned to his practice, though, and believe me, if I ever needed any legal help, he is the man to whom I would..."
"Yes, Arnold. But what has all this to do with Sid Hanley?"
"Oh, I darn near forgot, my dear. Just comparing Sid and Tony Quinn. Well, Sid was deferred by his local draft board so that he can go on laboring day and night to perfect a new method of killing men. Got it, too, I think. A bullet without a cartridge shell. Of course, there is a shell to hold the powder charge, but it is completely destroyed.